I think I got it. All right. Let me open up my good old sword here. The Bible said he beareth not the sword in vain. And I don't want to bear the sword in vain. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. I will read one verse. Verse 14. This is Apostle Paul. In this epistle to the church in Philippi. And he tells this church, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we want to try our best to preach tonight. It's scattered. I certainly desire your prayers, but I'll be preaching tonight on the mark. And pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, for every opportunity we give you praise. We certainly could not boast of ourselves. Lord, I stand amazed that you could even do anything through me at all. But I pray, Father God, tonight that you could somehow, Lord, deliver this message through this vessel. Lord, preach to me. Preach through me to your praise and glory. We submit and surrender ourselves. And ask, dear Father God, tonight that you would help us, Lord, not just to be hearers, but also, Father, to be doers of the Word of God. Amen. And in Jesus' name, we ask your will to be done in these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm scanning the audience here tonight. Is Barry Coffee here tonight? All right, I was hoping he could make it back tonight. He wanted to come, and we certainly understand that. I've been there myself, amen. But Paul here, talking about this mark, the standard. We've got a standard, the Word of God. I wish Brother Scott being here tonight. I was going to pick on him a little bit, and I'll probably still be able to do it. He can get it by way of CD, I guess. But, you know, the standard... It needs to be at a certain place. There needs to be an example of the believer in word and in deed. And Brother Scott, I love Brother Scott. He's big enough to break men half, better looking than me, and been saved longer than I have, called to preach longer than I have. But he used to be the youth pastor here. And oh, what a great work he done. I saw those young people. I saw him... Not just minister to them, but I saw them receive that ministry. I saw them come to this altar. I saw him fall down in there with them, and like a hen gathering chicks, I saw him put his arms around them. I saw him weep with them, and I saw him, boy, and they growed. And man, I love to see that again. But you know what? That's what we got to realize. There's got to be a standard. There needs to be an example. And when I'm talking about a standard, I'm talking about an example. Youth is not a reason not to have an example. The Bible said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and in deed. We need some examples. Amen. Paul said, I'm pressing towards a mark. A standard. I'm talking about somewhere, you know, a plummet line. Not a line in the sand, but somewhere where you see, I'm telling you, that you can mark that man's been with Jesus. If you'll notice, they called those disciples Christians first at Antioch. They called them that. Amen. It's Christ-like. Right. Paul said, I won't press towards that mark, that standard, that goal, that truth, that path to follow. Amen. Amen. If you look up here above, here up here, he said, verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, neither were already perfect. Notice those next words. He said, but I follow after. Right. You got to be in pursuit of this mark.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I think a lot of people, and Brother Rick's probably seen this more than I have, but they're in the category, I guess, which call they've arrived. Now they're in stalemate.
Right.
And you go to the hospital and they rig all kind of stuff to you, and it goes beep, 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 and you see some of them, it's just flatlining. And I think there's a lot of church people They've got flatlined.
Yeah. Amen.
They forgot whose they are.
Right.
They forgot why they're here. Amen. They forgot what it's supposed to be doing. What Jesus said at the age of 12 years old, Sandy. He said, "Know you not? I must be about my Father's business."
Amen.
Now we got something to do down here, amen. I mean, don't get lazy on God.
Amen.
You say, "Well, I can't." Well, I agree. I can't. But I can through Him.
Right.
And you know, when you put Him in, what was that little book you had back there, Davey? "Be Still, Know That I'm God." You know, when you start thinking about God, you start thinking big. I mean, this may be a big earth, but a bigger God made it. You want to know how I know that? Because Solomon said to heaven, the heavens can't contain Him. He said the heavens is throne and earth is footstool.
Right.
That's a big God.
Amen.
And you know what some people think? The world's flat. I'll just take the word of God over that. He set up on the circle of earth. You go ahead and listen to if you want to. By the way, I hate to say this, but I hadn't preached in a long time. Hope brought you supper. I plan on preaching a while. Amen. But, oh, listen, Paul said, I follow after it. I press forward. I want to attain it. I want to go in that direction. That's my standard. That's my goal. I'm telling you, that's the path I want to follow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you'll look down there in verse number 17, we're getting where it's going to get a little rough. Yeah. I debated preaching this message. I really didn't want to preach this message. I'll tell you right now, I took my whooping. I went to that meeting last night, Brother Rick. And I almost got beat out of it. I fell asleep. Me and Rick's the same age. I just get 6 feet a little bit before he does. We're both 63. But I woke up. I had just enough time. Yeah, he ain't there yet, but he's right behind me. I just turned 63. But, amen. I woke up just enough time to run out the door. And I got here just enough time to jump on the bus. And it was needful that I went last night because God convinced me last night how important this message is I'm going to be preaching tonight. And you'll get that on a slow train, but you'll certainly get that. But I didn't really want to preach this message. I had another message I wanted to preach. I had another message I thought would be good to preach. But Rick mentioned last night about Jonah. He said, "You get down to Nineveh and you preach the preaching I bid you to preach."
Right.
It's important.
Right.
The preaching is important. God chose it. He chose it so people get saved. And I don't know what happened. Somehow we started curtailing the message, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. But it was needful that I preach this message tonight. I learned that last night. Paul said in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them." There's that word again. "Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." And I thank God for an example. I got saved. I didn't know nothing. I come there dumb in a box of rocks, lost the goose. Got saved. Brother Rick, bless his heart, took me under his wing, showed me how to pray. I remember us having prayer meeting here, and all I did was watch him pray. I didn't know nothing about praying. But he started showing me some things in the Word of God. He'd stand up and preach. I'd stand up and ask questions. He had enough grace about him. He said, "Brother Eddie, we'll talk later. I'm preaching now." He didn't make a spectacle out of it. He knew I was ignorant. I didn't know how. The Bible talks about how things need to be done in church and need to be done decently and in order. And I was out of order, but he's decent. He talked about Mary come in and said she had trouble. Here comes trouble. Well, I was trouble, but he had enough grace about him. He knew how to handle it. And I could have been a castaway, but he bowled with me in the rough. And having compassion. Of some, have compassion, making a difference, Jude says. Makes a difference. He could have just easily said, "Get out of here, I'm trying to preach." He said, "Brother Ed, I'll get with you later." And I thank God for examples. Amen. I mean, I'll be honest with you, but I try to find a good example. I try to pattern my life after him. I've never seen a better example than our pastor, amen. I'm talking about a disciplined, a dedicated, a determined man of God, amen.
Amen.
I thank God he put me in a good church. Amen, Brother David.
Amen.
I tell you, buddy, God told Elijah where to go. He said, "You go to Brook Cherub and tell me what would happen if Elijah had been like a lot of people and said, well, you know, I'm kind of like Naaman. Ain't the rivers of Damascus better than Jordan? There's a reason he told him to go to Jordan. He's full of rebellion. He's full of himself. He's stubborn like all us.
Right.
See, it wasn't the water.
Right.
I hate to bust your bubble. It was the obedience that's better than the sacrifice. He obeyed that form of doctrine. Amen. And he went down there. And I can see Naaman after he got over his mass spell. And the first dip, nothing. And the second dip, nothing. All the way up to the sixth one. But that seventh one, amen.
Amen.
I believe he said dip seven times, didn't he?
Yep.
But I have most of us will probably go five and we're done.
Yeah, you're right, brother.
Elijah was told to go to the brook Cherith. What'd he do? He went there.
Mm-hmm.
God fed him there.
Fed him.
God put me in a good place. He's been feeding me pretty good. I put on a pound or two physically and spiritually. Amen. Oh, Lord, we're going to be here a while. I ain't got where I'm going. But I sure am enjoying the journey. Paul said, mark them which walk right. If you got a King James Bible, look over the top of that verse 17. If you got a King James Bible, you notice what it says there? The truth is not to be compromised for the sake of unity. Now, I know it's not scripture. It's just, you know, it's just advice.
Right. Yeah.
But oh, how true that is.
Right.
Because you see, we've been compromising just a little bit. And a little leaven with a whole lump. And you know, we've got the standard. We got standard bearers. We need to be good stewards like we preached this morning of the manifold grace of God. And that standard, God set it. And He said it'll work. It's got His blessing on it. As a matter of fact, God told Timothy, young preacher, good advice for a young preacher. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. It'll work. I don't care if you struggle with it. I don't care if you stammer, struggle. I don't care, slow, fast, whatever. Preach the word.
Work.
Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? Because the time will come.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now receive sound doctrine. Notice this word. This word's very important. But after their own lust. You remember that word lust in this message tonight. But after their own lust. You see, men love darkness rather than light. Deeds are evil. They don't want to come to no light. They don't want no light. They just need light. But after their own lust, so they heaped themselves, teaching having itching ears. And they'll turn from the truth to fables. Now, compromise, it's nowhere in this Bible. I don't see it anywhere. I quote a lot of Bible, read a lot of Bible, need to read a lot more and quote a lot more. But I don't see anywhere. Rick talked about once. I don't think it's mentioned one time in there. I don't think it ever says compromise. I see where it says turn. I see where it says repent. I see where it says convicted. I see where it says a new creature. But I don't see where it says compromise anywhere in it. Amen? Well, the truth is not to be compromised for the sake of unity. We've, in our effort to build bigger churches, in our effort to somehow tickle ears, I guess, instead of prick hearts, we've tried to somehow compromise this truth. And Paul said, mark them that walk right. And if you look down the next verse there, he says, why do that? He says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and even now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You wouldn't know it. And they probably don't even know it themselves. But they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Because they're teaching for commandments the doctrines of men, and they're not teaching sound doctrine. It cannot be denied. They're just preaching whatever works, amen. I say stay with the book.
Amen.
Okay, we're marking them at walk right. I'm leaving this text going to Romans 16 just to get a point across here. Romans 16, last of the book of Romans. Paul says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Now, two marks. Mark them that walk right. Mark them which cause divisions.
Right.
Notice verse 18. Again, we're going to the next verse. And he says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their fake news." Oh, I'm sorry. "By their good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, we had a little talk here before the meeting tonight. We was talking about the devil and how he deceived the angels of heaven. I don't know how he done it, but he done it.
Yeah.
One third fell, and he fell with them. Jesus said he beheld him as lightning. He come down this earth, and when the smoke cleared, he run plumb out of his shoes before he looked back. I tell you, brother, the devil might be mighty, and like Brother Scott said one day, God's almighty. Amen.
Amen.
But listen, mark them which cause divisions. The hearts of the simple. Well, the Bereans weren't simple. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, it said they were more noble than them in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You'll do that.
Yeah.
That's why I'll bring a Bible. I went to church one time with my father. He'd got saved, and be honest with you, I'd have went to the Ku Klux Klan with him, I guess. I'd have went anywhere. He said, "I want you to go to church with me." My dad just got saved, and we went to church up in Edmonton. I was the only one in the church with a Bible. Even the preacher didn't have one. I don't know what you call that. I walked in that church with a Bible, and they thought I had an AK-47. I didn't. I had a sword, but I could tell they was all looking at me like, "He's got a Bible. He's got a Bible." I'll always have my Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Even when I don't have it, Brother David, I got it in my heart. Amen. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." But oh, listen. Paul said, they'll deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, I don't want to be deceived. I put a lot of study to show myself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't want to be deceived. Been a few times, I've been there, but not no more. I want to be able to stand against every wind of doctrine. I want to have done all to stand there with. But oh, listen. Paul, when he told Timothy to preach the word is the good seed. Matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible, which is seed, which is the word of God." In Leviticus chapter 19:19, we're finally getting where we're going. This took me a little minute here to sling a little mud, but I sure have enjoyed it. But in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19, you don't have to turn now. I'm just going to make a quote from Leviticus. It mentions one word in that verse, and the word is called diverse. Now, that may not alarm you too much to hear that one word, diverse, but I do remember when the word diversity came into play. I remember it. I remember things started operating around this word called diversity. And in Leviticus 19:19, it says, "Don't sow with mingled seed."
Right.
Now, we've got farmers in here. And I don't imagine any of them planting a corn crop that's got watermelon seed in it, and green beans, and pumpkin seed, and maybe tomatoes and stuff like that. When they plant the corn crop, they got the good seed. They put the corn in the ground, and they work that ground, and next thing you know, a crop comes forth from that ground, and it's corn. Because that's what they wanted, that's what they planted. Now you remember this. God said, "Don't sow with mingled seed." getting quiet in here now. Rick said we need some good preaching. And I believe him, Matt. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 mentions that Cain was of that wicked one. Well, if he was, how was he? And I'm not going to speculate. I certainly don't want to strain that, swallow a camel. But Eve had a conversation with a serpent. And the seed, the word of God, which had been given to her husband, maybe to her too, was good seed. As a matter of fact, the good seed of the word of God said, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Amen.
That's the good seed.
Amen.
I can't read anywhere where they ate of that seed.
Right.
Of that warning from God about one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But here comes a serpent. He only changes one word. Now God said, you shall surely die. And the devil says, you shall not surely die. One word. Teenagers nowadays, they'll say something, they'll say not. We all laugh, think it's funny. Well, that's where that word not came from. Her conversation with that wicked one mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, her conversation with that wicked one, verse 1, caused doubt. Look at it. I tell you, I don't like doing this too much because I know, well, that happens. You turn too many Bible pages, you lose people. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, look here. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. There we was, our Sunday school lesson this morning. Oh me. And he said to the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There's that doubt. He sowed a seed of doubt in the mind of Eve. Now, the Bible says, not to be brought into doubtful dispensations, and I don't like it. I like just bring everything subjection to the Word of God. I like just line it up. I mean, precept on precept, just line it up. Gumbo Street, amen. Verse number 1, he sowed the seed of doubt. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, I'll just read down to it because I don't like leaving nothing out. When I make a sandwich, I like to eat it all. I don't like just to eat part of it. So we'll read on down to verse 4. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. He may have picked up on that. She kind of stumbled a little bit in her scripture quoting there. But anyway, in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now verse 1, he sowed the seed of doubt. Verse 4, he sowed the seed of change. He changed the word of God.
Yep.
Now you look at verse number 5. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He lied. He sowed the seed of doubt. He sowed the seed of change. And then he sowed the seed of lie. Matter of fact, Jesus rebuking a bunch of people one day in John chapter 8, verse 44. And he said, you're of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. He's a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. He's a liar and a father of it. I'm telling you, there's a bad seed there.
Amen.
And I am going somewhere, Brother David. And I'm almost there, and it's rough. Now let me just say this tonight. If old Brother Eddie rocks your boat, there's something wrong with you. I got called to pastor a church up in Columbia, Kentucky, and I thank God for the opportunity. I was kind of like Brother Rick mentioned about that first church he pastored. That's the first church I ever pastored. But I've been in a good church. Whew. Been fed the good seed. Growed in the Lord. Reached that stature of maturity, strong meat in that category, not the milk no more. I got up there and the Sunday school teacher, he's already there before I got up there. He taught Sunday school that Sunday. It's my first day there. And I noticed he's teaching heresy. I didn't say nothing. Why didn't you, Brother Ed? It's my first day.
Right.
Now, I quote this verse a lot. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, if it be possible.
Yeah.
And I always do want to try to do this. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. I want peace.
Amen.
But that next Sunday, he's teaching. I'm sitting, Brother John. He's teaching heresy. And he says, ain't that right, preacher? That's a big mistake, Brother David.
Amen.
My second day there, I said, no, sir, it's not.
Preach the truth.
I want to have a little salt, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to be trodden underfoot.
Good.
I said, no, sir, it's not. I gave him scripture and verse. I didn't just say, no, sir, it's not. I took the word of God and I showed him why I could not. Amen. He put me on the spot.
Right.
I didn't strive to make trouble. Guess who's teaching Sunday school the next Sunday? Yeah, it don't take a mathematician long to figure that one out. And it was kind of a good thing. And you get put on the spot. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer. The man asked you a question. Reads, hope it be ready.
Right.
You might get put on the spot.
Right.
Now, Brother Gordon, he said, ain't that right, preacher? It's either lie or say, no, sir, it's not.
Right.
Well, like I said, if old Brother Eddie rocks your boat, you listen to him real good. I'm like Rick preached this morning. I'd rather have you mad at me than have God mad at me. It's finna get rough. Preach your seatbelt on. I'm not kidding. It's finna get rough. Amen. Who said that? Amen. Praise God. I thought we'd get a groan or something tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright, we got seeds being sown here. Bell, change, lie. Now let's go to our text, Matthew chapter 13. Glory to God. I see the finish line. Matthew chapter 13, we got the parable of the sower. This is where I should have started. But if I had started here, you wouldn't understand why I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, and this parable of this sower is told about three times. But if you'll look at verse 24 through verse number 30, you'll see it says the mystery, the second mystery, the tares among the wheat.
Right.
Now, that word tare is in there for a reason. It'd be good if we had nothing but wheat. I would to God. We got a lot of young people here tonight, and I'm glad we do. I really want you to listen on Brother Eddie tonight. I really do. I fought the devil, myself, just to be able to address this message tonight. And it pertains to you young people. Alexa, Davini, Memphis. I'll name a few of you. Katie. Brittany. I ain't learned everybody's name. To young people, you listen to me tonight. This is real important. This is why I'm preaching this message tonight. The tares. The mystery of the tares. I'm just going to skip around in here. This mystery is explained about these tares. You can read it yourself from verse 24 through verse 30. And it's explained. It's mentioned there, the mystery is mentioned, but it's explained in verses 36 through 43. And for sake of time, I'm just going to jump around in here a little bit. Now, in this parable, we'll start at the beginning of it. It talks about a sower. We'll start at verse 24 of the kingdom. Said another parable, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, he didn't sow mingled seed. You notice it said he sowed good seed. And while men slept, and I think that's about where we're at,
there.
His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. We have an enemy.
Yeah.
We have an adversary. He's determined. He don't give up. He don't care if you don't feel good. He's not fair. Paul said, I'm not ignorant of his devices. He talked about snares. He talked about many have fell prey to this one here. He said in verse 38, you look at this. You remember Cain was of that wicked one? Look at verse 38. The field is the word, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Notice that. Cain was of that what? He was of that wicked one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Notice where these tares came from. They come from that wicked one. Now we're going to use great plainness of speech right here. Verse 39, that enemy that sold them, he's named here, is the devil. The harvest, end of the world, the reapers are the angels. We'll stop right there just a minute. 1963, a decision was made. Terrible decision. Somehow or another, men got smarter than God. And you know, everything now is about how educated you are. And I'm deplorable. I mean, I have to admit, I'm dumb in a box of rocks. I can't deny the charge. But someone in 1963 made a decision to remove the Bible from the curriculum of the public schools.
Right.
Academically, they considered it of no value. Don't the Bible say, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, and not depart from it? Don't the Bible say, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? Don't the Bible say, let no man despise thy youth, be thine example of believing word and deed? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, for the evil days draw nigh, and thou sayest, I have no pleasure in them. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot about youth and Bible to go hand in hand.
Right.
I could go on down that road. But in 1963, some thickhead thought we need to remove the Bible from the curriculum of the education of the public schools.
Amen.
Now I'm going somewhere and it's where it's going to get rough. That bothered me when they done that. But it didn't bother me half as much as what they put in place of it.
Right.
Heather has two mommies.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to know why we got so much gender identity issues? Well, just bear with me just a minute. I told you it's going to be a rough message. Amen, Brother Ivan. Daddy's roommate. Boy princess. 10,000 dresses. By the way, they're put on boys.
Right.
Elementary school, 70 plus gender identities to choose from. That bothers me. Hold up. I mean, it bothered me that they took the Bible out.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. They're indoctrinating the minds of innocent children.
Amen.
They don't know which bathroom to go to now. I don't know how in the world they could get mixed up on their gender. But I know how it got started. Amen, Brother Ivan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It crept in. What did it say? Evil men crept in unawares. It just kind of crept in to the curriculum. And now it's been spoon fed to the innocent minds of our children. Makes me mad.
Amen.
Now, Brother Rick showed me a picture last night, and I'm not going to elaborate on it, but it made me mad. Oh, it burned. I'd have died if I hadn't got a chance to preach this message tonight. I'd have died. I mean, I knew I had to preach this message. I had to. It burned in my heart. And I looked in the face of little Devney back there last night. She looked like an angel from God, glowing in the back of that van. And Rick talking about looking in the face of his son, Scott. And he said, God said, I got a million little boys like that need somebody to preach the Bible to them.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a cause. Let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's a cause. I don't know how we sit idle. I don't know how we sit back and allow this to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. We don't need to sit idle no more.
Amen.
Do you see the fruit of this thing? Do you see how this thing is running its course? This venom running through our schools.
Yeah.
This poison being poured into the minds of our children.
Amen.
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 Amen. It makes me mad.
Sure.
Old Brother Eddie, I'd kind of go overboard anyway. But it makes me mad. And I look at my little granddaughter and I get down and I pray and I say, Lord, put a hedge.
Yeah.
Put a hedge about my grandkids.
Amen. Amen.
Don't let that wicked one touch them.
Right.
Lord, keep them from it. Brother Jack, God said, look for someone to make up the hedge.
Yeah,
sure. Brother Nathan, God said he wondered there were no intercessors in the land. Brother Ivan, God said, who'll go?
Amen.
Who'll go?
Amen.
I don't have to ask Brother Rick. But I tell my preaching brothers there tonight, we've got to roll our sleeves up. We got some work to do. We got to somehow offset this.
Amen.
How you do it? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You start putting out the good seed. Amen. You start putting that good seed out. Amen. Go out there, amen. It don't do no good to us planted. Sometimes the verse in the Bible says there's a seed yet in the barn. Don't do no good if it's in the barn. Get out there, amen. I gave that girl, me and Brother Aaron went over to a Chinese restaurant this morning after service. I gave her a tract. I said, you don't have to read it, but I have to give it to you. I know one day you're going to stand before God, and I don't want your blood to be on my hands.
Good
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen. Heather has two mommies, was put in the place of the Bible. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
Daddy's roommate, put in there. My prince's boy, 10,000 dresses. We made a mistake when we trusted our government to teach our children sex education.
All right.
We made a mistake. Is there anything they haven't messed up? I'm not just talking about this subject. I mean, we trusted them with the minds of our children. Thank God for Sunday school. The only hope for our youth today is someone to invest in our young people. Brother Brian, you bring them in, brother. You bring them in. Amen. I'm telling you, glory to God. We got to get the truth to them before the wicked one gets to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching.
I thank God we've got good men in this church.
Amen.
Workers. Work with our young people. They try to tell them what's right from what's wrong. Somebody's got to. Goliath's come back. We need some Davids. Put a rock in a sling. Take another giant out. I'm telling you, boy, this is a monster here.
Yep.
It's in our schools. It's epidemic. It's sad.
Amen.
It's in the category it ought not been sold. Shouldn't have never happened.
Right.
We're at ease in Zion. I know that the day of the Lord can't come except they're coming falling away. That man of sin be revealed. But I'll tell you right now, buddy. I've got the armor on. I ain't no discharge, Miss War. I'm going to war a good warfare. You might see old Brother Eddie locked up, but I love my grandbabies. I love my children, amen. And I'm telling you, brother, I'm ready to fight over them, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We shouldn't have never allowed the government to teach our children sex education.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit about homosexuality. I'm not trying to be nice tonight. I love you, but I don't love you enough to lie to you. It was going on before the flood.
Sure.
It preceded that wicked one. You see, all evil proceeds from him. God made everything, blessed everything. Here comes a serpent. He's more subtile than any beast of the field. And what's he do? He sows corrupt seed. The Bible said Adam wasn't deceived.
Right.
In that transgression. That tells me somebody was.
Yeah.
I believe there's more verses on take heed that no man deceive you than there is about anything else in the New Testament. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. The best way not to be deceived is to know the truth. Amen. Amen. Quit being a dead burnt lazy. Quit texting. Throw the remote away. Get your Bible out. There's a war going on.
Amen.
There are casualties. There's a cost to this.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Brother Rick showed me one. It's a terrible cost. Homosexuality was around before the flood. How you know, Brother Eddie? Well, I've read my Bible for one thing. In the Bible, you kind of got to digest it. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, don't turn there, just listen to me. It said all flesh had corrupted God's way upon the earth. Now God made everything right. God blessed it. He blessed Adam and Eve, told them be fruitful, multiply, and plant the earth. And then all of a sudden here, six chapters into the Word of God, God's grieved in His heart that He's made man. Because the thoughts of man's heart's only evil continually. And God makes a decision to terminate mankind, except for eight souls. He told a man named Noah, preacher of righteousness, to build an ark. And the Bible said he moved with fear, built that ark to the saving of his house, and his family survived this flood. But homosexuality also survived this flood. Hey, no, Brother Eddie. Well, this preacher righteous cursed his son. You know enough Bible, you can read between the lines here. But this preacher righteousness, he made it through this flood. You know, everything's kind of calmed down a little bit. And he's kind of laid back. The lazy boy, Rick, preached about what keep him coming to church. That lazy boy recliner, that remote, that football game, all that. Well, anyway, he kind of got at ease there a little bit, planted him a little old vineyard and made him some wine, drunk that wine thereof, got good and drunk. And this, and I've been a drunk, so I can certainly relate to this. Brother Jack, he's laying there naked. And his son Ham sees his father there laying there naked. And we've got children tonight, so we'll be careful here. The Bible said when Noah woke from his wine and saw what his younger son had done to him, he said, cursed be Ham, a servant of servants shall he be. By the way, sin will make a slave out of you.
Right.
Amen. You'll serve some of the hardest rigor ever.
Yeah, good.
It don't let you go. It devours you. But here, it caused a man of God to curse his son. It made it through the flood. Now, you do your own Bible reading there. You just read it there for yourself. And Genesis 9. I'm glad it's here. Verses 21 through 25. Get the CD. You can look them up yourself. That'd be the best things. I know I got a lot of verses here. And you probably done melted the pen trying to write these down. But homosexuality made it through the flood. By the way, it made it through the fire of Genesis 19. How do you know what's going on, Brother Eddie? Or just read it. Matter of fact, I do want to read one part of it. I do want to read one part of it. Genesis 19. Now Lot, he ain't got no business down here. But Lot did go down there. And by the way, Sodom did have a Bible. Because the Bible called him a righteous man. That righteous man dwelling among them was that living epistle, so they did have a Bible. He may not have used it. I'll tell you right now, he was a living epistle. He wasn't a partaker of their evil deeds. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day by their evil deeds, but he wasn't a partaker. But they did have a Bible. There was a little light down there. Might not have been much. But you look here. Genesis 19. These two angels come, and I'm going to cut all the chase here. I'm going to verse 9. These sodomites. How wicked are they, Brother Eddie? Well, just look. Genesis 13:13, it'll tell you. And they're wicked. As a matter of fact, verse 7, he says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He offers them his two daughters, which have never known a man. Verse 9, and you can't, you know, I know we like to be diplomatic. You can't be diplomatic with sin. You can't make a covenant. You can't make an agreement with sin. God said it just won't stand up in court. It'll be disannulled. Your agreement with death and all of that and hell. You can forget all that. But they said to Lot, stand back. This one fella came in to sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with him. And you adults in here, you read the rest of that verse. You tell me what's going on. Now I know we've tried to compromise. You know, the Bible said God's light and him's no darkness and all. We've tried to bring a little gray in.
Amen.
God ain't got no gray.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, we ought not have none either. He said, we ought to be children of light. Like Rick preached this morning, we don't need to put no bushel on it. Maybe have Scott in the Sunday school lesson. Someone mentioned about putting a bushel on the light. We need to let the light shine.
Amen.
But God ain't got, he ain't got no 50 shades of gray.
Amen.
Right.
And you might be for it, but he ain't.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, he said, come out from that gray into this light. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You're right, Joanne. That's not good. What God penned in there, he was very discreet. How he penned that, but I can tell you what's going on. It ain't good. This stuff ain't going away. I mean, when it finally climaxes, they'll be beating on your door. They'll be wanting your children. They'll be wanting you. They will not be denied. I'm talking about this political correctness that has corrupted our land. And I'm telling you, we need to fire the pulpits up and fire them up and preach against this wicked sin. It's wicked.
Amen.
It's wicked as hell. It's wicked.
Right.
Now, I ain't a hate monger. I love them. Bring them in here. Set them on the front row if I'm preaching. Bring them on the front row. Bring them on in. I welcome them.
Yeah.
If they can stand it.
Yeah.
If they can take it, I can dish it out.
Amen.
Yeah, bring them on in. I sit on the back row with this man here preaching. I'll tell you right now, I couldn't make it. I love him for it. I'm glad he preached me the Word of God. I'm glad I couldn't hide from it. Brother Aaron, I'm glad it found me out. I was arrested. I'm talking about with conviction, boy. It was a good day. Oh, I might have been in denial for 34 years, but there's no denying it now. I started seeking a refuge for my soul. I mean, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? I'm telling you, we need to preach, amen. Preach against this wickedness. I ain't sugarcoating it.
Amen.
I thank God he didn't sugarcoat that day. Dropped a whole dump truck load back there. Felt like, amen, but I needed it. Listen. You look here. Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 20, says the cry of Sodom, and it came up to God. Verse 9, you see the corruption of Sodom. Verse 13, you see the condemnation of Sodom. Verse 14, you see the call to escape from Sodom. And by the way, it was denied. You might not reach them, but don't fail to try. Appreciate that message this morning by failing. Amen. Five men that failed. Don't be labeled as a man that failed to try to warn them. You might not prevail.
Right.
You might not be able to break this bondage. You might not be able to break this yoke, but don't fail to try.
Amen.
Care enough.
Amen.
To go as far as they'll allow you to go. You know, they'll shut the door. That's it. I don't hear no more about it. But, you know, like Rick said, let it be in a friendly way. Let them know that you love them. Your will towards them is good. You wish no malice on them. You're only trying to help them.
Right.
You'll accomplish more with love.
Yeah.
And you will loading a gun.
Yeah. Speak the truth.
Yeah. Old preacher had a lot of wisdom. Rick mentioned about an older preacher this morning. An older preacher had a lot of wisdom, was asked to go visit a drunk. He went to the house, knocked on the door, and the drunk sitting at the table drinking like I used to. Through the screen door, the preacher could see him. He said, "Come on in." The preacher went in there and he said, "Sit down." The preacher sat down. He said, "Have a beer." The preacher said, "No, thank you, sir. I don't want one." The guy hauled off, hit that preacher in the mouth, knocked him plumb out of the chair. He fell down the floor. This guy's up there hoping he'll get up. Preacher reached back there in his back pocket, wiped the blood off his mouth. He said, "I didn't come to fight with you. I come to tell you I loved you." And that guy cursed him and he walked out of that house. It didn't last long. It wasn't no time at all. This guy come barreling through the back doors like a whipped pup. He didn't even stop. He just come on up here. He said that preacher went to bed with me every single night since that episode, as he gave his testimony of repentance and salvation. He said that man showed me something I'd never seen before. He showed me love in a way I could not deny. That's tough.
Yeah.
I got to work on that. I got a little bit of Jimmy Hood in me.
Yeah.
I ain't big as old John back there, but I'd like to be. If I was big as him, God, there'd be no hope for me, I guess. I guess this is just what God wanted me to be. I'm just big enough to take somebody on. This ain't big enough to do nothing about it. But old John, now, I told John, I don't look up to a lot of people, but he's one I do, amen. He's about a foot taller than me. But that call to escape, he goes to his son-in-laws and married his daughters. And he said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord's going to destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto them.
Yeah.
He lost his testimony down in Sodom. We got to be careful of this stuff. It don't need to creep into the church. Brother Rick runs a tight ship around here and I love him for it. Woo!
Amen.
Yeah, man. He called old Brother Eddie down several times. I love him for it. Amen. Hey, I just make mistakes. It wasn't like I was doing anything intentional. I'm just dumb. But, I'm in total agreement with it. I believe there ought to be some authority in the home.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Let me run that by there again. I believe there ought to be some authority in the home.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I believe there ought to be some authority in the school.
Amen.
I believe there ought to be some authority in the church.
Amen.
I believe there ought to be some authority in the White House.
Amen.
Woo! We in there now, ain't we? Amen.
Amen.
How do we know homosexuality made it through the flood? How do we know homosexuality made it through the fire, the brimstone, that God rained down from heaven? Judges 19, verse 23. You read about the same episode that happened.
Yeah.
Word for word. Genesis 19. What did it do, brother? It caused a civil war.
Right.
Caused 100,000 people to die. Don't tell me you ain't hurting nobody.
Yeah. Amen.
100,000 brothers.
Yeah.
Brother fighting brother. Oh, boy. How did it get that far, Brother Eddie? Well, we asleep in Zion. We at ease in Zion. We're getting used to the dark. We forgot about being vigilant. We forgot about wake thou and sleep us. We forgot about redeeming the times. The days are evil. We forgot about things that are important to live peaceable lives. I'm sorry, 10,000. Let me stand corrected there. 10,000, sorry. 10,000 were ended up dead after this civil war was over. Now, going back to Sodom, the Bible said that God made an example out of Sodom. You want some New Testament scripture about homosexuality? God said He overthrew them with an overthrow. And He made an ensample out of them unto all that hereafter should live ungodly. You want it even clearer? Go to the book of Jude, and I believe it's verse 7, and it's even clearer there.
Right.
And it does mention about strange flesh, and I'll just leave that there. By the way, Jesus said it'd be like the days of Lot before He returns.
Right.
And I believe we've about made full circle. Amen?
Yep.
Luke 17, 28 through 30. Now I want to go back to the terrors one more time. So I hope you're not too far from Matthew chapter 13. Now here's the sad part of the message. The tares have been sown. That thing's still on, I'm sorry. The tares have been sown. I'm loud. I can't help it. Look at verse 30. They somehow took the Bible out. They somehow put Heather has two mommies in there. They've somehow put Daddy's roommate in there. They somehow put Princess Boy in there. They somehow put 10,000 dresses in there. Mm-hmm. Now look at this sad verse. You young people, listen to this. Don't let nobody say you're a lie.
Amen.
This is what Jesus says here about these tares. And He's wheat. Let both grow together.
Mm-hmm.
This is the long suffering of God.
Right. Amen.
Let both grow together until the harvest. Why? He wants to give them that Rick preached this morning, that space.
Amen.
That space for you to do your job. That space for them to repent of this wickedness. Let both grow together to the harvest. They're allowed ample time. Then notice they're cut down. Then notice they're bound. Read it. Notice they're thrown in the fire. Let them grow together. God's, the Bible said He's kind to the unthankful.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you.
Yes.
Put up with me for 34 years. Why do I love? What I love? Why do I act so crazy? Why am I fanatic? I know what I've been forgiven of.
Bless
you, Lord.
I know what I've done, Sandy. I know what I deserve. I stand amazed.
Amen.
That same goodness of God that ought to lead people to repentance, that same grace of God that has appeared to all men appeared to me. That nail-pierced hand reached out to me. Jesus said, let both grow together.
Yeah.
Give them ample time. Oh, listen, time's running out. I'm not trying to be a doomsday preacher. And it's not, I'm not talking about time's running out like the end of time. These homosexuals don't live long.
That's right.
He that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed. They commit suicide.
Yeah.
That without remedy. Amen, preacher. They don't want to live this life of lie no more. They don't want to be a terror no more. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I do. I know what they need, but it's kind of hard to give somebody what they need. I remember Mama holding my nose trying to give me medicine. I mean, I needed it. I didn't want it. It stunk.
Amen. Yeah.
She got it in there turpentine or something like that back in, you know, back when they killed worms in and all that stuff, you know. I mean, back when the good stuff was around, amen. Mercurochrome, methylating. Man, them band-aids pull the hair off when they pull them off. You know, good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. They may not want it, but they need it. Better go and they need somebody to come to them.
That's right.
Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Old Brother Eddie cares. Old Brother Rick cares. Brother Nathan cares. But you might call old Brother Eddie and I might have worse troubles than you got.
Mm-hmm.
You might call Brother Rick and he might not be able to come.
Right.
He might be at the hospital in U of L up there seeing Brother Bill Budner, maybe out there on the Rosa Road checking on Bill Gillock or someone else, Timmy Jolly or something. You might call Brother Jack and Brother Jack said, I can't come. But oh, listen. Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Any hour of the day.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, Sandy. No matter the cause, no matter what you done, He says, call upon me.
Right.
Amen.
He says, come to me. He says, I care.
Yes.
David had a book back, I thought it was herbs. He said it was her nanny's. But on the cover of that book, it says, be still.
Yes.
And know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 46:10. Sometimes you just got to turn things off.
Right.
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to get in that solitude place.
Amen,
drown the noise of the world out. God bless you, Brother Jack.
Yes, sir.
Whew. There's a man knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Sometimes you got to get along with God. Like Rick said, we need to talk.
Amen.
He's always got an ear.
Yeah.
He's never too busy.
Amen.
He's always ready to help. You remember when Peter was walking on the water and he started sinking?
Yep.
Brian, he said, Lord, save me! What's that next word? Immediately.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's how fast you can get help.
Amen.
That's how fast.
Right.
Immediately. Jesus, Linda, stretched forth His hand. Brother David pulled Him up out of that raging sea. That's how fast you can get help. Forget about the 10-step program. I quit drinking one in my hand. I've done preach longer than I meant to preach anyway, but He offers real help.
Sure he does.
Hey, He can fix it. He might be the last one you go to, like that woman, that issue of blood. You might go to many physicians. You might spend all you have. You might suffer many things. But if she'd have went to Him first, she could have saved a lot of pain, a lot of money, and a lot of spinning around circles like a Coke bottle. Amen. Listen. Let both grow together. Look at verse 40. As therefore the tares, I'm about done here, are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall be the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, they shall gather them out of His kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pain.
Amen.
And gnashing of teeth. God says, let them both grow together. Get them in church. Overthrow this light of hell. Get light into this darkness.
Right. How to dispel it.
Yeah. They just passed this law, made the Bible an electric.
Mm-hmm.
Electric. Well, you can put it back in if you want to. If you elect to put the Bible back in school now, it's okay. There might be some people jump off a building and let them jump.
Amen. Amen.
Right, right.
Them kids, they need it.
Yeah, man.
It's the good seed.
Mm-hmm.
They might not understand it. It's light. They might not get it all, but they'll get some of it. I thank God for every Sunday school teacher. Listen, please invest in those tender plants. Diane, as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Invest. Invest. At your funeral, it'll make a difference. Somebody will say, she told me about Jesus.
Yeah.
She took the time to tell me about Jesus. Invest.
Right.
In these young minds. Don't leave it up to the government.
Yeah.
Amen, Marla. You work in the schools. You know how crazy it is. I'll tell you what happened. We made a mistake.
Yeah.
Let both grow together. Day's coming. Going to be cut down.
Right.
Going to be bound up. Going to be thrown in the fire.
Yes. Amen.
Laughing's going to stop.
Yes. Amen. Right.
Jokes are over.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
It's going to be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Lord, I've done my best. And I thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, I've never considered myself to be much, but I've done my best. I pray, Father God, tonight that the Word found good ground. I don't know how it went to those that are here. I know how it went for me. I know it had your blessing upon it. I know it was directed by the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, dear Father God, tonight there'll be someone tonight that'll be able, Lord, to get the truths that have been told here tonight in their soul. Lay hold on them. And I pray, God, they'll do something tonight, what they've heard. Lord, I don't know the state of people in here, but if there's something that needs to be done, I pray it'll be done by the hand of God. And I'll give you all the praise and the glory. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone stand, please. I don't know how the Word of God went to you tonight, young or old. Maybe you've been a partaker of this madness. Paul said, how came the Word of God to you? He said, it came to me first. Hey, I done heard this message already once, but God gave it to me. I'm just a messenger boy. Like Rick said, I'd rather have you mad at me, have God mad at me. I got to deliver the message. I'm the messenger boy. But maybe tonight there's something that in this message tonight you know you need to do something about. Maybe you just need to get more serious about what you've been doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it went with you. Maybe tonight you said, I've been relaxed. I've been lazy. I don't know. Maybe tonight little boys and little girls come to your mind. Like that Macedonia call that said, come help us. And you want to enlist tonight and say, Lord, is there anything I can do? Help these young ones. I mean, it wasn't in my generation. We had the Bible in there when I was in school. Principal read it over the intercom. Prayed over us. We had the Ten Commandments in there. We had the Pledge of Allegiance in there. And they still had one nation under God. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God for these that are coming. I don't think they ought to be alone. I'm not that smart. I'm not that spiritual. But I don't believe you ought to be alone. But I thank God to see a family move like what's happening right here. Praise God. I believe others ought to be coming tonight. Let God have His way here tonight. You judge you tonight. If you need to come, I want you to come. And I believe you do need to come, but I certainly ain't going to meddle in that. You ought to come here and pray with this family. Rick said we need to learn how to love each other again. There was a time, boy, I'll tell you, the love run deep. It might be superficial now, but boy, it used to run deep. Oh yeah. I remember when Mike McGuire's house burnt down. The tornado hit it. I remember that, yeah. We were out there. It's dark. What was you out there for, brother? We're trying to help. We were able to do a little, Sister Marie. A little's a lot when you need help.
Right.
What about it tonight? You going to stand at naught? Or are you going to come down here and say, Lord, I want to do what I can. I want to do something. It'll make a difference. What about it tonight? Listen, I love you tonight. If I stepped on your toe, I'm not apologetic. I love you.
Good job.
Thank you, brother.
Good job.